15. The Captain. Modo gawked at Colette Brunet, his mind racing. What was she doing here? She was a French agent. Was this a French submarine ship? The young woman stared boldly back at him. He hadn't expected her to be so tall. She was at least as tall as Octavia. The older woman rested her hand on the hilt of her cutlass. If she drew her weapon, Modo's best course would be to run, but where?
"I am Captain Delfino Monturiol," the woman said with a slight, unfamiliar accent. "What is your name?"
"Robert Walken. I'm a photographer."
"Well, Mr. Walken, you damaged my ship."
He was momentarily dumbfounded.
"Oh, the entrance hatch. I apologize. I was desperate and freezing to death.
With a good deal of trouble, we were able to repair the latch."
Her hand remained poised on the cutlass.
"I assume you were a passenger of the Hugo. Your vessel was trespassing."
"Trespassing?
But these are international waters. We struck something and I was thrown from the vessel."
"What struck you was the spear of Icaria," she said. "If that ship had lurked any longer in my waters, it would be at the bottom of the sea right now."
"Yes," Colette said in perfect English. "Our dear captain does not hesitate to kill."
Modo glanced at the French spy, puzzled by her tone and by the fact that she spoke with no discernible accent. Captain Monturiol let out a sigh.
"I am sorry. I should have introduced you. This is Colette Brunet, and she is, in her usual dramatic way, telling the truth. I take the defense of my country very seriously."
"Your country?" Modo asked. "Are you from Iceland?"
"No. Not every country exists above the land. The world will know that this area is to be avoided. My homeland of Icaria shall be defended at any cost."
"The seamen on my ship were harmless," Colette snapped.
"They were soldiers, Miss Brunette. As I have explained before, we watched you for days and saw through your countrymen's disguises. Then we struck as we would at any invader."
She turned to Modo.
"As for this Hugo, it was not a military vessel, so we cut her free. Her men will now tell others not to trespass here."
"That's why you rammed her?"
"Yes, but we did not penetrate her hull below the waterline. It was only a warning."
For an instant, Modo thought of Octavia. Had they made it to port? He couldn't bear to think of her going down with the ship. At one end of the chamber, a light flickered on. Serdar stood at a desk, filling out a chart, seemingly oblivious to the conversation. Next to the desk, the wheel of the ship was lashed in place. Modo gestured around him.
"I've never seen such a vessel.
What is it?"
"It's a submarine ship," the captain said matter-of-factly. "Welcome to the Ictinio. You were not invited, but please consider yourself our guest anyway."
"By guest, she means prisoner," Colette added.
"Prisoner?" "I do tire of your sharp tongue, Miss Brunette," said the captain. "My apologies, Mr. Walken. I am afraid in her short time here she has grown impatient. Should she offend you at some time during your visit, I apologize in advance on her behalf. The French are not good at apologizing."
Colette opened her mouth to say something, then pursed her lips. What had she meant by that prisoner comment? Modo's legs were trembling. He tried to ignore his exhaustion.
I wonder if I could be taken to Iceland," Modo said, his voice shaky. "I would like to join my wife there."
"That will not be possible at the moment," Captain Monturiol answered. "We shall discuss the length of your stay at another time."
She paused, her eyes appraising him.
"Comrade Serdar informed me that you have some sort of deformity that causes you discomfort. I assume that is why you wear the mask. I shall respect your wishes, but all people are welcome here, able-bodied and disfigured. In Icaria, citizenship means equality for all. The old, the weak, the crippled. There are no poor and no rich in our country."
"Thank you," Modo said, though he wasn't quite certain what land she could possibly be speaking about. The disfigured, equal to everyone else. He looked about. It was important to learn as much as possible about the vehicle. The more he knew, the better he would understand his situation. "About this ship, I must say I'm stunned. I've photographed many ships, even warships. This is unlike any of them."
"Yes," the captain said proudly.
"It sprang like Athena fully formed from my father's mind. Come." She finally took her hand from the cutlass and led Modo to the largest porthole. It was disconcerting to know that water was only inches away. "Why doesn't the ocean pour in?" he asked. "The pressure must be overwhelming." "The glass is 10 centimeters thick and tapered so that the pressure of the water wedges it into place."
10 centimeters?
He had never learned metric measurement. Mr. Socrates considered it foolish French nonsense.
"It's about 4 inches, Colette said. "Metric is a much more efficient system, but I know you English are slow to adapt to new ideas."
Modo thought he detected a note of teasing humour in her voice.
"Yes, indeed. Finally, Colette and I agree on something," Monturiol said. "This is why we use the metric system in Icaria. The old ways are dead."
She tapped on the large portal.
"A solid system, a solid ship. The eyes of the Ictinia will not crack or break, even at 1,000 meters below sea level. Here, have a better look."
She turned a golden key and illumination blossomed outside the window. Fish scattered, shocked by the sudden appearance of an underwater sun.
"What kind of light is that? It can't be gas," Modo said.
"Ah, you are an inquisitive one. Good, good. Perhaps that comes with being a photographer. Your questions will be answered in time." Modo stared out the porthole, trying not to gape, but it was amazing. A large squid floated by, its tentacles waving. Modo couldn't see the surface of the ocean and had no idea how deep the submarine was. Modo stepped back and noticed, above the porthole, a bronze plaque etched with a star rising out of the water. "Plus intra, plus extra," was inscribed below it. "The deeper, the better," Modo translated.
"Oh, an Englishman who can read Latin," Colette said. "That's rather rare."
Her intense eyes measured his reaction. Did she really hate the British so much, or was she just playing the part?
"Yes," he answered.
"And Greek?"
"The Ictinio. Well chosen. This really is a fish ship."
Captain Monturiol laughed.
"My father had a way with words.
He's a brilliant man to have designed all of this." Her face darkened.
"He was a brilliant man. Oh, I'm sorry. It is the past. And we must build upon the past. That is something he often said. Enough of such talk. I want you to know that as a guest you are welcome to spend time on the bridge. And in your cabin, of course. The engine room at the aft of the ship is out of bounds, along with the crow's nest at the bow. We have a library you are welcome to visit. Please remember to sign out the books."
"A library?" Modo couldn't hide his surprise.
"Icaria is a land of thought, philosophy, and spirit. True human spirit. You will be very comfortable and completely accepted here. Forgive me. There are matters I must attend to. I will leave you in the care of Miss Brunette. I am sure she will be only too happy to have new company."
Monturiol disappeared up the spiral staircase. Sir Dark continued his work at the helm.
"So you're English," Colette said. "I forgive you for that. What's wrong with being English?"
She laughed, as though the answer were obvious.
"Were you working on that ship?"
"I was a passenger, with my wife."
"Ah, that explains the ring. And why did the crew drop anchor at this location?"
Her questions were so probing and her stare so fierce that he stepped back.
I was inspired by the way the light reflected off the water. It was the perfect slant for portraits. I couldn't capture the effect if the ship was moving.
You must have a golden tongue to have convinced your captain to stop. If you must know, I greased his palm. She chuckled. Ah, money, the ultimate motivator. You will find yourself wishing you could bribe your way off this ship. The Actinio is hospitable, if you enjoy living like a sardine. How big is this ship? It's about 15 meters wide and tall. As for the length, there's no way to tell. Neither forward nor aft is accessible to us good guests of Icaria. Shall I show you the library, or take you back to your prison cell? Are we really prisoners here? As the hours turn into days, then weeks, you can make up your own mind about it. Modo didn't like her answer. Even here in this large chamber, the walls were beginning to close in around him. Sweat trickled down his neck. The humidity made the mask cling to his face. Well, he said with forced jauntiness, if it's going to be a long stay, I'd better have something to read. I'd love to see the library. He followed Colette down a second spiral staircase, into a room where three chandeliers illuminated thousands of volumes. He perused the shelves and found books in Latin, Greek, Spanish, and French, all manners of histories, novels, collections of songs, and scientific manuals. This is remarkable. He ran his hand along the spine of a book titled Geosophy. And what is this Icaria she spoke about? A dream inside her head. She is quite mad, but of course you have likely come to that conclusion yourself. I don't know enough about her yet, he said. How long have you been here? 28 days and 4 hours, not that I'm counting. I hope you like reading books and looking at fish. I do like reading, though not every hour of every day. Captain Monturiel said that there were soldiers on your ship. Was it a military vessel? She narrowed her eyes, and Modo suddenly felt like an insect under a magnifying glass. You may be a photographic artist, but you have a detective's mind. She let her gaze linger on him for a moment before continuing. Like you, I was just a passenger. My father is back in the United States. He is an attaché to the French ambassador. I was returning home to visit my mother. I assume you sailed out of New York. Wasn't there a more direct route? We were travelling to Iceland for diplomatic reasons. And smoked cod, of course. And what happened? The Actinio rammed our ship below the waterline. The Vendetta, which was 2,800 tons, went down in under 5 minutes. To my knowledge, I am the only surviving passenger. Modo noted that she knew the exact tonnage. It must have been a frightening experience. Frightening? She huffed. No, I reacted to the situation as it unfolded. I was with two seamen in a lifeboat. It had been damaged, though, and it sank. The men were taken by sharks, and the Actinio rescued me because I was a woman. At least, that's what our dear Captain Monturiel said. She thought she'd found another downtrodden comrade, but quickly discovered I had teeth. I've been trapped in this metal coffin ever since. Colette had delivered her story without a trace of emotion. Modo, trained to detect emotion in the slightest twitch, saw nothing. A horrible, horrible experience, he ventured. She shrugged, and Modo couldn't help feeling respect for this woman. In the briefing, Mr. Socrates had said she was 18 years old. The tension in her face made her look older. Do you know how they attack the ships? Modo asked. Well, I believe they have some sort of pincers to cut anchor chains, and there must be a battering ram at the bow of the ship that is used to puncture hulls. Who knows how many vessels lie at the bottom of the ocean because of this madwoman? Sacre bleu! It does sound very unsportsmanlike, not to mention illegal, to sink ships without warning. Indeed, bloody rude, as you English might say. Modo grinned. I must admit that I'm stunned by all of this. He touched a gold statue of Poseidon used as a bookend. The likely cost of this vessel astounds me. I have so many questions. Where was it constructed? You may have better luck with the captain than me. I've learned little. The men and women who run this ship, the comrades, are tight-lipped. Tell me a bit more about you and your employment, Mr. Walken. It's Walkin, Murdo corrected, wondering if she wasn't trying to catch him out. I have worked as a photographic artist for 3 years now, with my wife as my assistant. I've captured scenery from the Arctic to Egypt to England. We want to preserve glorious man-made monuments and nature in stereoscopic images.
It sounds très excitant.
He smiled, then remembered his mask. She couldn't see his reaction. It's rarely as exciting as today was. Imagine the pictures I could take through the portholes. He paused. I do hope my dear wife is well. Modo heard footsteps on the stairs and turned to see Serdar stopping at the bottom step. You are both invited to dine with Captain Monturiol at 1900 hours, Icaria time.
That is very kind, Modo said. What time is it now?
1600 hours, Serdar said, pointing at a wall in which a clock had been embedded. Its hands were two lightning bolts, and there were 24 hours on its face. Modo had heard of this style. It was called an Italian clock.
There are clocks in every room. They were my idea, Serdar said. I will have a comrade bring you. Until then, please relax.
After Serdar had gone back up the stairs, Modo asked cheekily, Is Icaria time a real measure of time, or is it imaginary?
Ha! Icaria may be imaginary, but the time here is real. It's Greenwich Mean Time minus 1 hour.
Colette grinned, and Modo noticed that her dark hair was carefully combed and knotted up on her head. Even though she had been here for weeks, she kept up her appearance. If Monturiol suspected Colette of being a spy, Modo wondered what her fate would be.
I must say I find it very curious to be talking to a masked man, she said.
I have a rash.
I hope it's not too forward, Mr. Walken, to mention that you have soulful eyes. I suppose a photographer needs them.
I suppose so.
She laughed, her eyes trained on his.
Well, I shall retire and prepare for le bon repas. One does not get to dine with the captain every day. Remember, a good Icarian is never late.
Modo watched her wind her way up the stairs until the last of her long skirts disappeared.